Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
You heard us talking with Congressman Seth Moulton. One of the things we discussed was the fact that yesterday the House voted to impeach President Trump, who is now the only president in our nation's history to have been impeached twice. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said during the proceedings that the president's role in encouraging supporters to storm the Capitol building last Wednesday requires a serious response.
The president of the United States incited this insurrection, this armed rebellion against our common country. He must go. He is a clear and present danger to the nation that we all love.
House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy echoed many of his Republican colleagues in condemning last week's violence, but also the impeachment proceedings, claiming that it simply furthers the political divide.
A vote to impeach will further fan the flames of partisan division. Most Americans want neither inaction nor retribution. They want durable, bipartisan justice.
So as our team was talking this morning, we found that everywhere we turn, this is what people want to talk about right now, folks, is this the call for unity versus the call for accountability, the tension between those two things. Seems like people have very strong feelings one side or the other. And while those that sound and those people are in D.C., we here in Greater Boston, we feel this too, and we want to have a conversation with you. We want to take your pulse, find out where you are on this. 800-423-8255 is the number. That's 1-800-423-TALK. What do you make of the Republican call for unity? What do you make of the Democratic move to impeachment? What do you make of the challenges we have for unity in your neighborhood, in your town, in your county, if you think about it that way? Just call us. We'd love to have you join the conversation. Now, we have two great guests to help us reflect, help take your calls. And we're lucky because since we're a two-city daily with two newspapers, we've got one from each. We've got Joan Vanocki, the columnist from the Boston Globe, and Joe Battenfeld, columnist from the Boston Herald. Joan and Joe. I'm going to do that at least twice during this segment. Joan and Joe, welcome back. It's great to have you both.
Thank you.
Nice to be here. Thanks.
All right, so I'm going to ask you each a question first. Joan, I will start with you. Do you feel that impeachment was a necessary step for Congress, or do you think the Democrats have gone too far with only a week left in the president's term?
Well, let me start off by saying timing in life is everything. And on January 5th, I had written a column that said they should not impeach. It was too polarizing. Then everything changed. And I think they had to do what they did. It became a matter of principle and accountability. And the fact that 10 Republicans agreed with that, I think shows that it more proof that it was the right thing to do.
Now, Joe, your most recent column, Joan just referred to one of hers, your most recent one, the headline was Trump impeachment destroys Biden promises of unity and healing. So I think that gives us a signal as to how you feel about this. Why do you think this is a mistake?
I don't think it really does hold anyone accountable. There's no accountability when there's no impact. President Trump has already been removed from office, or will be in a couple of days. He's been voted out of office. And the Senate has indicated that they may not even take up impeachment at all, that they may do it when Democrats get control, but it's possible that they could let it die. And anyway, they don't have the ability. I don't think they have the ability to get 2/3 of the vote right now to remove President Trump from office, which he'll already be removed from office anyway. So there's no real impact here. And I, if you really want to hold President Trump accountable, go after him on legal grounds, investigate him for his role in this in these riots. And he did have a role in the riots, and I agree with that. Investigate him, and if necessary, charge him.
Joan, I'm going to give you a chance to respond there.
Thank you. On the issue of impact, I think the impact comes from making every representative, every lawmaker, every senator vote, stand up and be counted. If you listen to the Republicans yesterday, most of them weren't saying that there wasn't an impeachable offense. They keep on talking about unity and, you know, the need to bring the country together. They know that what President Trump did was wrong. I think they should have to vote on it and let the people see where they cast their vote.
So that's a different spin, Joe. And then the phones are blowing up. So after I ask you this question, Joe, I'll go to the phones. That's a different spin. That is, well, the accountability is to the congressional members who have to take a vote versus whether or not it removes the president from office before January 20th.
Well, that's going to, I mean, that is going a real far distance to prove a point, to hold individual Congress people accountable. They're already accountable every 2 years. And we know, you know, pretty much where they stand on this. All you have to do is ask them where they stand on it. So I don't believe you have to fan the flames and get the temperature of this country up even further by going forward with an impeachment that's not going anywhere anyway.
Fan the flames, right, though. I mean, you had people, you know, storming the Capitol, putting the lives of these lawmakers at risk as well. And you would think that alone would make them think that this was something that they would need to hold Trump accountable for.
Let's go to the phones here. Again, they're just blowing up. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We'll take a few calls here. Let's start with Dean in Hyde Park. Dean, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I was listening to Congressman Moulton recount trying to persuade a Republican colleague to vote for impeachment. And I think we need to take a moment to reflect on how state legislatures have shaped and distorted the legislative branch of the federal government. Because if I'm not mistaken, it is state legislatures that control redistricting. And a heavily gerrymandered district always renders a general election irrelevant. And so whether or not congressmen or senators on the right have the political courage to stand up and do what is right, they will be primaried. There is no way in a gerrymandered district to prevent an extremist from holding office. And that is what we are seeing with those who wanted to object to certifying the results of a free and fair election, those who now want to give the president a pass for inciting a mob.
So, Dean, thanks. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we have so many calls, and I feel like we've got a good sense of your point. So I'm going to let you go. Thank you for that. I want to add a couple more. We've got Anthony on the line from Newton. Anthony, go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to say I don't see impeachment as retribution at all. You can't operate with impunity, and the punishment hardly fits the crime. But I do agree, though, that I don't think this will come to anything needing a two-thirds vote. And one quick thought. I think this kind of behavior began when he called to free Wisconsin and they showed up on the Capitol steps with AR-15s. That was a warning call to the United States of America. And I think access to the Capitol was way too easy. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but that was way too easy.
Thank you for that, Anthony. And I don't know if we'll take a look. I'm trying to remember how many years ago that was, but that was a while back. And I'm going to grab one more call here and we'll go back to our guests. We've got Arlene on the line from Lawrence. Arlene, jump in.
Thank you. I see that the president should be held accountable. He is an accessory, as they would say in layman's terms. He was an active participant by inciting that. And I just don't want him ever to have any government office held, president, senator, nothing. Get him out as quickly and as swiftly as possible. Thank you.
Thanks for that call, Arlene. So a lot there. And I mean, this is the heat, right? We are all in the middle of the heat. Joe, I think I'll start with you on Dean's point. You said, you know, accountability is elections every 2 years. Sounds like he's saying we have messed that up. We have gerrymandered ourselves into lack of accountability. What's your response to that?
Well, I mean, that's a whole other topic that you could get into, the gerrymandering. And it does occur on both sides, depending on which, you know, legislature has the power. But I still think you still have an election, and gerrymandering can't. We've seen that in the last election where a number of incumbents were thrown out of office. So it is possible to do that.
And Joan, I want to turn to you. One of the things that struck me with the other two callers was just the raw anger in their voices. And I'm still thinking about you saying that, you know, the impeachment vote is an accountability moment for members of the legislature, I hear a lot of people asking what to do about Republican representatives who doubled down on what I've heard some NPR hosts call the big lie, which is false, unsubstantiated claims about election fraud that were consistently disproven in court.
Okay, could I go to the primary issue, though, before I get to that?
You can go anywhere you want. This is free for all, Joan. Jump in on all of it.
Is it so terrible to be primaried? I mean, this is a democracy. What's the worst thing in the world? You know, that you have to run for re-election and that you might lose. I mean, I'm not in elected office, so I guess it's easy for me to say, but there should be some principle that you're willing to stand up for. So, I mean, the idea that people don't want to be primaried seems to me, you know, a bad reason not to vote to impeach a president if you think that president has committed impeachable offenses. Maybe that's naive, maybe it's idealistic, but, you know, that's the way I feel about that. In terms of the, you know, the anger and the raw emotion, and whether or not how you hold Congress people, lawmakers accountable for votes they cast, I mean, I think that is up to the voters. If the voters of a district want to reelect somebody who's done that, that's their call. May not be a popular position.
Let's go back to the phones here, 800-423-8255. We've got Rick on the line from Jamaica Plain. Rick, go ahead.
Yeah, the only thing I could compare what happened to was like when the Black Panthers were carrying arms back in the 60s. And what happened with them was the FBI infiltrated them and dismantled them in a sense. The Proud Boys are getting a free ride here. They went in and nobody's complaining about them. They're saying it's Trump's fault. Trump instigated them for sure. But they're the ones that are walking around with their guns and nobody's saying, oh, we got to get rid of the Proud Boys. Back in the 60s, there were three college campuses where there were civil rights marches, and three or four black people were shot in South Carolina, Louisiana, and Texas, Texas Southern University in the 60s. Black people were shot at rallies. So, you know, it's a total, you know, 360 on how they treat people at rallies like this. This is insane. And, you know, Trump instigated it totally. If I told somebody constantly, like that, the girl that got away with telling her boyfriend to kill himself, she got put in jail for telling him to, she got tweets that said, she put, you know, go kill yourself. Well, he told people to go and go jump on the Capitol. That's what he told them. So it's a double standard in how, you know, the FBI is treating the Proud Boys.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate that. And I admit that the name of the young woman in the trial, I'm picturing her in my head. We've talked about it repeatedly here on Radio Boston, but I forget her name. So, Joe, what about, Rick is saying, hey, the Proud Boys are getting a pass. We do know that federal agents are spanning out across the country trying to arrest people and find people and hold them accountable. But we also know the President of the United States said, Proud Boys, stand by.
Yeah, he this was during the debates, I believe, right? You're talking about?
I am.
He clearly had a role in what happened at the Capitol, President Trump did. And he, you know, that's obvious. But, you know, I think in fact, the FBI right now is doing a pretty good job of trying to get to the root of people who did instigate this and who were at the Capitol and who did have a role in this. They're arresting people already. And I agree that any groups like the Proud Boys who are talking about bringing guns now, there is a heavy investigation right now into the inauguration and people who are threatening to bring guns to that. So hopefully they can infiltrate that.
I do wonder, and by the way, it was Michelle Carter. I so apologize that I just couldn't bring that name to the front of my mind then. I do wonder, and Joan, I guess I'll turn to you on this. We've had Joan Donovan from Harvard University, a researcher, on, who reminded us that domestic right-wing groups have been designated as a huge terrorist threat by federal law enforcement agencies. The Proud Boys have not been quiet about their intentions, and they marched on Washington just a couple weeks before this all happened, destroying property, tearing down flags from black churches. Should we have been in a better position to stop them? And how are we now in a moment where we know armed people are coming for other people in America next week?
Well, I think the caller made an excellent point about the double standard and how people are treated. They're making arrests now, and the FBI finally seems to be on the case. But, you know, the question that's been raised since the assault happened is, if that many Black Lives Matters protesters or rioters or mob, whatever you want to call them, stormed the Capitol, how many dead people would there be in the aftermath? Would they have been met with the same, sort of carte blanche to walk, waltz around and do what they did? And I think most people think the answer is no, that the response would have been different, and that there is a clear double standard as to how the Proud Boys should be handled in the future. I don't know. I've been listening to podcasts and things about this whole crazy internet world out there, and I just really don't know how you stop them. It seems really hard.
All right, I'm going to go back to the phones because I want to keep us focused on the pulse of how people here in Greater Boston are experiencing this. We've got Michelle on the line from Chatham. Michelle, go ahead.
Hi. The one thing that gets me with all of these conversations that the Republicans are having is that they're still blaming the Democrats for things. Instead, if they want unity, why don't they just come forward and say it has all been a lie and we agree that President Trump did wrong and he should be charged for the crime?
Let's go to Joe Battenfeld on that. Thank you, Michelle. Joe, what about the calls? And we've heard them, even Congressman McGovern here from our delegation saying, if you want to make a difference here, just say it isn't true. Just tell people the truth. And Mitt Romney saying leadership is telling people the truth.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, there have been some Republicans who have said what the president did was wrong, but I don't think enough. Clearly, I mean, I've been consistent and I've never once challenged the validity of the election or said that the election was not valid. But I think some people did. Obviously, a lot of Republicans did go along with that, what President Trump was saying, and that was wrong too. But they should stand up now and say, I think what people want to do now is stand up and say, okay, what President Trump did was clearly wrong. If he did something illegal, he should be investigated for that. But the country also needs to move on. We have, you know, thousands of people dying every day, and we have a vaccine that's the rollout is being slowed down, and it should be going faster, and there should be a better government response in this. And so I think there are a lot of other things that we should be focusing on.
So Joan, in part of what Joe just said, and I feel like we touched on this sort of obliquely in our conversation with Congressman Moulton before the break, every minute that our Congress spends on this is a minute that it's not 100% focused on helping our country survive and get through what has been a poorly managed pandemic. How do you think about that trade-off when thinking about having attention on impeachment right now or not on unity as it's being framed by Republicans in Congress?
Well, I think handling a pandemic is very important, but having a democracy survive is important too. And again, I mean, I think the caller made a great point. I mean, how do you unify people? One way to unify people is for Republicans and Democrats to just say what happened was wrong and that the president should be held accountable for it. And I understand the time frame that Joe is raising. And I understand. I mean, I'd like to think that the Congress can, to use an overused phrase, you know, walk and chew gum at the same time. They certainly, Republicans in the past, were able to decide that, that a president who had lied about sex with an intern should be impeached. But somehow a president who incited a riot in the U.S. Capitol shouldn't be held to that same standard. So, you know, put me under, I just don't really get that argument.
I want to get one more caller voice in here. Jonathan's on the line from Stoneham. Jonathan, go ahead.
Hi, I'd like to address this idea that impeachment is pointless in the last week of a president's term. When you impeach someone, you also vote on whether to bar them from ever holding federal office again. So I think it would be very productive to have all of these members of Congress on record saying that they're fine with him running in 2024 after this happened.
Thanks for that, Jonathan. So, Joe Battenfeld, that is another big question. What does the Republican Party do with the possibility of a recurring Donald Trump?
Yeah, that is a big question. They're going to have to decide that. The Republican Party is going to have to decide whether they really want Trump to be involved in 2024 or not. And I think Trump has been severely weakened because of what happened at the Capitol. And I don't think he's going to be a viable candidate. You know, he may try, but I, you know, and the Republican Party is going to go through a bloodbath over this. But in the end, I hope that they can decide to move on to somebody else.
How about you, Joan?
Well, the easiest way to neuter him politically would be to convict him in the Senate and make it so that he couldn't run again. And I bet there is some political, you know, there's a lot of political self-interest, actually, for Republicans who think they want to run for president in having that happen. I'm no, you know, sort of expert on where the, how the vote would go in the Senate. I'm watching CNN like everybody else, but it sounds like people think that there are at least 5 to 7 senators who might vote for conviction, Republicans, and that's not enough. But, you know, I think, again, that they should do it. They should take the vote. They should make everyone go on record and give their speeches to why. I mean, McConnell has already said he thinks Trump has committed impeachable offenses.
All right. Well, I sure appreciate the two of you helping us have this conversation with our listeners. Lines were still full, so obviously this is a thing that is on everyone's minds. Joan Vanacki, columnist for the Boston Globe, and Joe Battenfeld, columnist for the Boston Herald. Really appreciate both of you joining us today.
Thank you, Tiziana.
Thanks a lot.